everyone. Welcome back to I've Been Thinking with your host, Brietta. That's me. You know, I have felt really, really lucky because the more and more conversations that I have with fellow artists and creators and narrators in this space, the more I realize what an embarrassment of riches we have as a creative community. There are so many wonderful people who are doing so many wonderful things. And, you know, I say all the time that I started this podcast as a way for us to think and feel things a little bit more deeply. And if nothing else, I'm hopeful that it's exposing you to other creators in this space who have wonderful things to contribute to the global narrative. And today I have with me Mariama Jallo. She's a storyteller and a digital curator. She has a space called Jallo Studios, which is really a safe space for Black women artists and creators to cultivate sisterhood. And we love anyone who's cultivating sisterhood and share resources and collaborate. And I think that this is going to be someone that if you're not already following her content, that you will, as soon as this episode is over, you have to wait till the episode is over, to go run over to the digital space and follow her. Mariama, how are you?
I am doing well this morning. I rested well. I feel hydrated and I'm super excited to have this conversation with you. Thank you so much. Like, in advance, we're just like, you know, holding spaces, just holding space and amplifying the voices of Black women.
Yeah, I was saying to you before that, if nothing else, you sort of ask yourself when you're in a moment in time like this, like, what can I add to this moment in time? And I said to myself, if nothing else, if I can just amplify the voices of people who are already doing the work, who are already in the space, then to me, I feel like I'm contributing to that. And I know through the work that you're doing, you're already doing that work. So tell people a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yes. So hi, everyone. I'm super excited to be here today with Brietta. My name is Mariama, and I'm the founder of Jallo Studios, which is a community and resource hub for Black women artists and creators who are building creative careers. And our mission is to create safe spaces where sisterhood is formed, knowledge is shared, and collaboration is encouraged. And Jallo Studios is not even a year old yet. And we started in the summer of 2019 after I completed a fellowship between two Brooklyn art organizations. And one was a theater and one was a diasporic museum. And during my time at these two institutions, it really opened up my eyes to the disparities that existed between white and Black creative spaces and organizations. And when thinking about community and the role that community played in both of these spaces, and also thinking about resources and the access that, you know, Black artists and creatives had versus the access that white creatives and artists had, it's like it's insane. Mm-hmm. So additionally, for me, as a Black woman creative who had just graduated college and was trying to tap into the creative community in New York City, I witnessed like firsthand how, you know, factors like elitism and the unwillingness to share resources made it really difficult for growing creatives to feel welcome and even build their network and to even like find support. Right. So for me personally, I have always believed that collaboration and access to resources and knowledge, it goes beyond the surface and not only, you know, makes creative spaces more enriching, but it also also creates like, you know, a space for creative growth. And I feel that, you know, with Jallo Studios, we are tackling these issues head on. And we invite all Black women creators to join us in creating a community that breaks down these barriers. So we don't take it lightly. When someone chooses to hit that follow button, we are inviting all Black women from all different walks of life to, you know, join us on that journey. We're here to support you. You can come to Jallo Studios to be vulnerable. You can be happy. You can be whoever you are and feel free in being that person. So, yeah. And we're not a year. We haven't even made a year yet, but we definitely have seen a lot of impact and, you know, just like what we do in terms of like our programs, the content that we build. And it's like a very fulfilling role, I will say.
I love to hear you say that, because while you were explaining sort of what Jalo Studios, what sort of the ethos is of the work that you're doing, you said a word that which has always been a part of my personal mission, which mm-hmm. is access. Mm-hmm. I believe powerfully in providing access. And in my career, you know, when I'm not working creatively, it's one of the things that has always led me to the jobs that I'm doing. It's like, how can I bridge the gap between where you are and where you want to be? And right. it goes, and it's because I know how powerful access has been in my life, right? Like access to education, access to mentorship, access to gatekeepers in the creative space. Like these are things that truly help build a creative's career. And so for you to be facilitating that with the work that you're doing, I think is absolutely amazing. And I'm curious from your perspective, when you say that you were noticing sort of the disparities between, you know, what was provided or maybe accessible to white creatives versus Black creatives, what were some of the things that you noticed that you were like, I can problem solve that with Jalo?
When we're talking about accessibility, right? I think that, you know, from a macro perspective, at least, we can think about funding. Funding is humongous when it comes to, enabling or having, institutions or just artists having access, right? So if we're looking at a primarily white art organization that has a lot of funding and has a lot of money, they have the power to pay artists what they are worth. They can mm-hmm. They can fly artists out to come and do like speaking engagements. They can put artists in like these amazing like hotels, and dinner is paid. Whereas, you know, a lot of Black art institutions in particular struggle a lot because of the lack of funding that they have. So yeah. when we're thinking about, you know, paying your employees what they're actually worth, being able to pay interns, being able to pay Black artists for showcasing their work, mm-hmm. being able to fly out artists and giving them additional opportunities like speaking engagements and things like that. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So, and I think that, you know, for a lot of allies who may be listening or who are, you know, have the power to, you know, kind of like be able to give donations or be able to hire Black artists, which is also really important. Like that plays a huge factor when we're talking about accessibility.
Yeah. And to me, you know, the thing that is always a key indicator about whether or not a system is equitable, it really comes down to, can everyone have equal access right. to something? And I think, you know, we're looking at an industry, you know, byproduct of a world that right now is being set on fire with this narrative around mm-hmm. what does equity actually look like in 2020? Right. You know, it's funny because I think that there are people who've been doing this work so long that I almost feel, for lack of a better way of saying it, I almost feel like they must be so disheartened by the fact that we're still having these conversations. Absolutely. And yet we find ourselves in this moment, like it's the truth. This is where we are. And so I think one of the things that I'm, from your perspective, as someone who's creating these types of spaces, when you look at everything that's happening right now, you know, globally, as our global narrative around race and equity and what that means for creatives, how are you like processing this moment? Like, how are you categorizing where we are in the world right now?
Like you said, I think that, you know, for a lot of people who have been doing this work for a very long time, like it's very disheartening that we're still having the same conversations, right? And when I think about that, like yesterday I was actually speaking with a friend and I'm mm-hmm. like, you know what? I think that the conversation that we are having now is very unfiltered. Mm. I think it's very unfiltered. There's a lot of freedom and agency in that, you know? And I think platforms like Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter has played such a huge role in giving or amplifying the voices of Black artists and creatives. Like, And, you know, like we are forced to work 9 to 5s at like art institutions or even creative agencies where we are not treated well. We've never been treated well.
Right.
You know? And I think there is so much agency and freedom in being able to, and strength as well, and strength, because like people, like companies can retaliate in any way that they can, you know? But I think that there is so much power in just like speaking and letting these institutions and people know how we feel without the filter anymore, which I think is really important, you know?
It's so important.
It's very important because I think that, you know, when we think about what we like to call professionalism, right? Mm-hmm. It has literally forced Black people into a box. It filters us in terms of what we say. It filters us in terms of how we can act and how we even like show up in the workplace, which is, it's tiring. And I think it's like, enough is enough.
Yeah. I, you know, it's so funny because what you said about, that unfiltered raw narrative that's coming out, I've been saying this in my personal life, as well as through this podcast. That is one of the things that I have found to be the most exciting about this moment. My personal, like just Brietta personally, I am so anti-artifice. Like I say this all the time, and I don't know if it's a healthy statement, but it's just the truth of how I feel, which is like, I would rather know what you really think of me. Right?
Absolutely.
Like, let's just have the real conversation.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, you mentioned things like Instagram and Twitter and all of these digital platforms, the power of the fact that we no longer have gatekeepers who can filter our voices to the narrative.
Or filter the conversation.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge. And I think, I don't know if you've like seen the platform Pull Up or Shut Up, which
yes.
I think is phenomenal.
I love it.
Phenomenal. So not only is the conversation not filtered anymore, but we are demanding stats.
Yes.
You want to see it. You're saying that you care about Black lives. And it's like, and it's so crazy because, you know, I graduated about 2 years ago now, right? And I literally was struggling to find a job in even like in the art space with creative agencies. And I'm like, this is so crazy because there are all of these job postings out there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally, I know so many qualified and talented Black artists who are going above and beyond in what they are creating. Their life's mission is doing this work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so crazy that, you know, we have all of these like diversity pipelines and programs, but you still can't hire enough Black people. You need help to find qualified Black artists and creatives.
And now
it's like, okay, we're asking for your numbers and we have been supporting and spending our dollars with you and you have nothing, you have no Black representation.
Well, and the thing that I think is so interesting, and for anyone in the audience who's not aware, that Pull Up or Shut Up sort of like digital campaign was really demanding that the beauty community be transparent about what their numbers were around POCs on their workforce, you know, and to your point, Black communities are spending billions of dollars in these spaces. And so it was our way of like, you know, show the receipts. Like if you say, if you have the audacity to say in your public sort of PR spiel that you support Black lives, we want to see how that's translating into your business practices. But something that you said, which I think is just so key, because I think that there is this, there's this invisible barrier that unless you're a person of color, you don't understand it until you've experienced
it. Speak on it. Please let's speak on it.
Which is it, and it's the most frustrating, in my opinion, space to be in because you can truly try to articulate this to non-people of color and they really, this isn't about them being willfully ignorant, they truly don't have a point of reference for what it means to have this invisible barrier when you're trying to work in the corporate space, you're trying to enter this space, and there are barriers there that are saying, we are not going to extend to you an opportunity because you, and I say this a lot, whether it's, you know, knowing bias or not, there is something about you that doesn't fit their idea of what a corporate body looks like. And so you're left in these odd situations of like, I know I'm qualified. I know I have what it takes. I will hustle as hard as anyone here. And yet the opportunities are not being presented to me.
And you know what I also think is really interesting? For a very long, before this even popped off, right? Before this popped off for a very long time, I'm like, wow, especially on Instagram. Like, I've been on Instagram for years, and I'm so happy that, you know, we have a platform like Instagram that gives us the space and room and just the opportunity to connect with other Black creators, like what we're doing right now. And I'm like, it is so interesting that these brands and a lot of creative agencies, like, they love to hire Black creators as freelancers or by project basis, right?
Right.
But we're not good enough. And that's fine, because some people, like, that's how they want to live their lives, which is fine. You don't want to be tied to a 9-to-5. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you want to hire Black creators, you know, based on projects, but, you know, you don't want to hire us.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that's so fascinating about, you know, leveraging the digital space to force authenticity, I think is really interesting, which is the reason why I have been doubling down on the LinkedIn space, because I feel as though, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, all of these places are absolutely valid. They're wonderful tools to use to share narrative. But I am a firm believer that until it penetrates the face of the business space, and there is something about taking those narratives and plopping it in LinkedIn to say, and there's been some amazing conversations happening in that space where young Black professionals are saying, like, hey, you can't hide your Black hire in a diversity role, or you can't, like, you know, you have to, the thing that's interesting about this, and I think this is also part of this moment that we're in, there's always this attempt for the powers that be to reframe the narrative of our reality, right? And so we're saying,
it's not their job.
Right. And it's like, and we're saying, like, no, we're living it. You can't tell me that this isn't real. Like, I'm living this. I know what I'm experiencing. And so to your point, there is this, I keep calling it a reckoning that we're in, where just people are just going to say fundamentally, like, I am going to hold you accountable. You have to be held accountable for your brand, for your business. And, you know, I was saying to someone on in the LinkedIn space the other day, I was like, don't hide behind your, like, we're committed to learning statement. It's like, that's great, but you're a business, so you know how to come up with a strategic plan. So I'd like to see it.
Yeah. And I think I am honestly so here for it. Like, people holding businesses and brands accountable. It is time. And like you said, unless you are a Black person or a person of color, like, you will not understand what it feels like or what it even means to know that you are qualified, or sometimes even more than qualified.
Absolutely.
For a position, and for you to not get it because you don't fit the mold, or you don't fit the mold of that company or that space.
Absolutely.
Or they feel like, you know, they have the right to kind of, like, feel that way.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's funny, because so you take that inherent systemic problem, you know, which is why I always go back to this idea, you know, there's so much discomfort happening around these conversations, because, you know, non-people of color feel, you know, we're talking about white fragility, and this is a book that's being, like, pushed in the ethos right now. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I can understand that for a non-person of color, there's this immediate knee-jerk reaction of, like, I'm not a racist. And it's like, okay, but we're not really talking
about that.
Yeah. But it's like, put that in a different category. Mm-hmm. What if we're not talking about you being a racist, but being a beneficiary of a system that is racist, and you having some sort of ownness about the fact that you are benefiting from a system that is to the detriment of other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why when we see someone like you and the many other people who are creating spaces, who are saying, like, we want to fix this broken system, but we can't wait for it to be fixed before we actually do the work. And so we're creating spaces where people can have agency and can have the autonomy to build careers, you know, ultimately to build careers and pursue their passions, you know. So the work that you're doing really, you know, I consider it to be a unifier. You're unifying Black and Brown people so that they can have agency. What are some of the ways that you are seeing in this industry that people are being unified as artists and as creatives to sort of navigate this moment?
I definitely think that, you know, just by beginning or like starting by having these important conversations has been so crucial and just like so important when we're talking about this movement overall, because I think it's really important for us to have a very insightful exchange in terms of like what we have been experiencing out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, and just like kind of like knowing and affirming that you have not been alone and you are not alone in what you have experienced, because there's a lot of gaslighting. And like, sometimes you're literally just like, wow, like, am I going nuts? Like, is this happening to me? Is this really happening? Or am I just kind of like, you know, I don't know, like, am I like just like seeing this through a different lens? And I think it's been so affirming to see so many Black people and people of color just like kind of like sharing their stories.
Yeah.
Without a filter.
I so agree with you, because it's so funny. We know that these conversations have been happening in pockets of the, like the global narrative forever, right? Like Black and Brown people have always found ways to connect and to affirm each other's experiences. And it's one of those things, I call it my sanity check. I'll go to someone and I'll be like, I just experienced this. Please tell me that I am not crazy.
Like, please tell me I'm not crazy.
Just tell me that you are hearing what I'm hearing. And I think that that is a unique challenge for people of color that, again, other communities won't understand, because that gaslighting thing is a real thing. That microaggression thing is a real thing. And so you spend a lot of your time having to go back and say, what was that? Right? Like,
what was that I just experienced? And yeah. I think that, you know, I think that now we're having those conversations publicly and for what it is, without being fearful or even fearing that they're going to retaliate, fearing that you're going to be fired for expressing how you feel. I think there's so much power in that. And I think even after, like, you know, we're having those conversations, I think that a lot of Black artists and creatives are going out their ways to also create space and hold space for people to come together to not only talk, but to create. I think that Black artists and artists of color play a very important role when it comes to documenting what is happening historically.
Yes.
When it comes to transforming people's lives, being able to inspire other people, being able to even heal, like art heals. And I think that Black art in particular is so special, because most of the time it talks to our experiences, real life shit that we are going through.
You know, it's so interesting the way you said that made me think about that differently, because I always equate, you know, Black storytellers, we just innately have that storytelling gene. It's just a part of sort of our genetic DNA. But I think, to your point, there is this nuance of like, what we're experiencing right now is real time documenting of the journey. And maybe that's been true throughout history. It's just our moment in history that we're experiencing it. But that has been the thing. I think that, and I'll say that I think the space where I've seen it the most has been TikTok, where I've been on there and I'm just seeing like real time documenting of this movement, and to see people's real time reactions and how they're trying to figure it out in a, you know, in by moment by moment. And one of the things that I've been really excited about, and I'd wonder how you feel about it, the thing that I, because I'm always trying to find the positive piece to hold on to. And the thing that I've been excited about is like, I am so excited to see what the art is going to be that comes out of this time. Right?
Absolutely.
Like what is that going to be?
Yes, I am too. And I think that especially for organizations like Jalo Studios, I think that we play a very important role in helping to provide those resources for those artists who are actually doing the work. So if that looks like emotional work, emotional support, financial support, or just like connecting them to other Black women creators who they can potentially collaborate with, it's like, it's a plethora of like options, you know? And I think that's really important.
You know, one of the things that you talk about a lot, it really is about creating community and about what the power of what community can do for people. And I think what I'm hearing from you is really, and you tell me if I'm wrong, this is me interpreting the work that you're doing. You guys have just doubled down on this idea of sisterhood, right? Like, it's like sisterhood 2.0 in the sense of like, I want to be there for you in every facet that it takes for you to succeed. And so if that just means I'm your emotional cheerleader, I got you. But if it also means like you need a collaborator on this project, I got you. So that's what I'm taking away from your work. And I love that.
Yes, absolutely. We're actually in the process of creating a creative directory for Black women artists and creators all over the world. And I think that is really important because, you know, like when we think about collaboration, sometimes like it can be very strenuous. You kind of like have to, you know, float through Instagram to see if you can find the right person. So, you know, even like right now, being the founder of Jalo Studios, constantly having to think about, okay, how can I show up for my community right now? And I'm like, all right, like there are so many amazing Black women creators on Instagram right now. How can we be a central point where we can not only like, you know, bring exposure for all of these artists, but also be a platform where, you know, people can come and find each other and connect and work with each other. I think there is so much power in that, and collaboration as well is very important.
And you know, when you were saying that, this thought just flowed through my head, which is, you know, collaboration and creating space for community is such a key part of revolution, right? Mm-hmm. Because the system is designed to keep us divided, right? It's designed to pit us against each other. It was so funny. I was talking to another actress. She's an Indian American actress. And she was talking about how historically, you know, this government has tried to pit different minority communities against each other, because there's this inherent understanding that if we understood the power of community, that we would be just the cosmic force behind that type of energy is life-changing. And so I think to hear about you creating that type of space is really, it's revolutionary, but it brings to mind this sort of ongoing narrative that I've been having with other creators, which is like, this is how you have found your way to be a part of this movement, right? Like authentically.
Yes. And I think that's also really important. I know like over the past few weeks, there's been a lot of conversation about the role that we choose to play in this movement. And yeah, not all protesters, we're not all, you know, healers or doctors. And I think that, you know, everyone plays a specific role because like we need people to play, you know, different roles in order for this to be revolutionary, in order for it to be sustainable and you know, for us to have the change that we actually want to obtain. So I think that for me right now, my role is to create space for community for Black women creators to come to have like a central home that they can come to find resources, to foster sisterhood, find support, find collaborators, find what they need in order to be that successful Black woman creative out there.
You know, it's so funny because when you were saying that, it reminds me of something that my mom always says to me. You know, my mom, because I grew up in a military family, so we literally grew up all over the world. You know, by the time I was like 6 months old, I was living in Japan, you know, Thailand, Italy, all of these places. But one of the things that my mom explained to me when I got older, she was like, you know, Brianna, one of the things that I always tried to do is whenever we got to a new base, into our new home, she's like, I always made sure to set it up exactly the same way it was before. She said, because I wanted you guys to understand what home felt like, which was like, no matter where you are in the world, this was home and you could feel comfortable. And I think when you said about creating a space for Black women creatives, it's like, there is something magical about having a space where you can be authentically yourself because we're wearing so many masks out in the world.
All day, every day.
I mean, all the time. So to have a space where you can drop that and just be, I think is in and of itself, like life-changing for an artist.
It definitely is.
You know, I wanted to ask you, when you look at this this time that we're in. We're still in the midst of a global pandemic. We don't know what the residual effects of that are going to be. As a nation, we're having one large conversation about race in a way that we haven't seen in our lifetimes, at least. And so I'm curious, do you think that this is impacting the way we're seeing ourselves as artists? I feel like everyone is sort of doing this introspective work and really challenging ourselves of like, how do I see myself in this current time? And I'm curious if you're seeing that work being done, of people really looking at themselves as artists and saying, who am I in this current space?
I think that is a really interesting question, especially because of what we just spoke about, people really having to kind of like take a step back and reassessing the role that they want to play in this movement. And I think that for us, as Black women creatives and artists in particular, like for a lot of us, we have been doing this work every single day.
Yeah.
Just by showing up to our jobs, creating consistently, creating authentically and with intention, creating stories that just speaks to our experiences as Black women. I think we've been doing the work for a really, really long time. And I think that right now, especially, it's really important for us to think, for me, at least from my perspective, I think that having the communal perspective is really important. So how can I work with other people who are doing the work to continue this work?
Yeah.
Especially with what you're doing, how can I, you know, like you are a Black woman artist, right? But now you're thinking about ways that you can use your platform or just the space that you have to amplify the voices of other Black women creators, people of color who are also doing the work and have thoughts and ideas that they want to share. I think that's really important. And it takes us coming together, collaborating in order to do that. So,
yeah, you know, I think that I get excited about the idea of being a part of reshaping an industry for artists and creatives who are coming up in this space after us. I get really excited to see, you know, I was talking to an artist, you know, she literally just graduated. And so it's this idea of she's coming into this space while it's being torn down and rebuilt all at the same time, which I'm just like, it's both exciting and terrifying, I'm sure. And so I get really excited and hopeful about having a small part in reshaping that, because I think one of the things that I look towards, if I had to say, what is my hope for the future of this creative industry? I go back, the most raw way that I can say it is that I just want to create an industry where people of color, Black artists, don't think that having scraps as a career is all they can attain. Like, I really want...
Oh my God, I just
want people, especially our Black people, to feel as though it is possible to attain a wide-ranging, reaching career. And that... You don't have to be sold the idea that you have to be grateful for the crumbs. You know what I mean? Like,
and I was actually speaking with a friend about this recently as well. Like the narrative that Black artists are fed in particular, like, you know, you have to be a broke and struggling Black artist before you actually really make it. But when we think about that and we deconstruct that, a lot of that comes from us not having the appropriate resources that we need.
100%.
Not having access to institutions and spaces that could change our lives. Not being able to be your most authentic self in a space. Like a lot of that contributes to that. So I'm so happy that you have said that, because we deserve so much more than this world has been willing to give us, these spaces and these institutions. We deserve so much more.
And it's interesting because when you think about this idea of privilege, and I know that currently in the national narrative, we're talking about white privilege, and it's a real thing, obviously. But we also don't talk about the privilege, like the socioeconomic privilege, because a lot of times what we call white privilege is not really white privilege, it's socioeconomic privilege,
yeah.
Right? It's not that they're white, it's that they have the dollars to give them access to the things that have helped, not necessarily further their career, but it's made the journey easier, yeah. Right? And I've said before, like, I think this is something that we as Black people have to not be shy about demanding that level of privilege, right? And not shying away from it. Because I also think that we've been conditioned to default into humility to the detriment of owning our space, right? Like, and so it's something that I'm really conscious of. That, and I say this all the time, and I say it in my personal life too, which is like, I will not make myself small to make you feel big. Like, you either have to like grow to my level or like we can part ways. That's okay. But like, I can't make myself small just to make you comfortable.
Absolutely not. And I think a lot of that too comes from us just simply having those conversations as a community. Like when we think about, I was recently speaking to friends about, you know, people being very secretive about how much they make.
Yeah.
And that also kind of like being a pillar of professionalism, right? You're not supposed to discuss how much you make in the workplace. But excuse me, that puts Black people in a position where we don't even know how much to ask for when we're at the table, you know?
100%. Like this, that is a real thing.
That's a real thing. Especially like in the art world, you know, like they're... When we think about a lot of these jobs, these positions, people are always like, you know, you're probably not going to make that much money. But think about Black artists and people of color. We are literally getting the shortest end of the stick.
The time. And because we have been kept on the fringes of those conversations, not only are we receiving the bare minimum, we don't even know how to negotiate. Like, we don't even know how to get in the game to have those conversations. And I remember the first time years ago that I really, and it was a white woman. She's a mentor of mine, and she was making a career change. And I was sitting down with her, and she was just telling me how she was approaching this. She's like, you know, Brietta, I sat down and I put down my offer and I told them, this is what I want. I'm not going to accept anything less than that. You know, this is what, and I'm willing to negotiate on those things. And I could feel my heart racing because I was like, I've never done that. Like ever.
I get so nervous when a recruiter asks me, so how much are you looking for? And I'm like, holy shit, if I shoot too high, am I going to get this job?
Yes.
Like that's a real life. It's like, it's a real life fear.
It is.
Experience as Black people and people of color. And to just think like, I have like, at one of the art institutions I was actually working at in Brooklyn, I had a white coworker who, you know, and I was explaining this to him. Like, I have literally been very fearful of negotiating what I actually think that I deserve because I'm sometimes fearful that I might not get the job. And he's like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I have never, ever been fearful of asking for what I deserve.
Wow.
And negotiating. And he just looked at me and I could just see like there was just so much confusion.
Yeah.
And it goes back to your point. You will never, if you're not Black, you're not a person of color, you will never understand what that feels like.
It's an interesting growth inflection I have had in my career. And I am, you know, I always am willing to give credit to those who have helped me grow and mature. Right. And I am so thankful that this particular woman, I sat down with her because I was right in the midst of making a career change myself. And I was like, you know, I know that I want to go after these things, but I don't know how to do it. And she sat with me and she said, Brietta, she's like, you have to ask for what you want. You have to. She's like, you may not always get it. She's like, but wouldn't you rather know that you at least asked for it rather than sit in a position and wonder, like, did I really get what I deserved? And so she really helped me get comfortable with being uncomfortable in those situations. Right. And I can tell you that based upon that alone. Now we're still dealing with like systemic barriers. That's a real thing. You're, as a Black person and as a woman, like those barriers are real, but it helped me grow in that space of like, I'm just not going to be uncomfortable to say what I want. like, and what I believe I'm worth.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing when you can realize that you're growing, right?
It definitely is. I can also say now, I am not uncomfortable asking for what I deserve. I also have a mentor who actually managed me at one of these organizations, and she's a woman of color. And she was just like, girl, you are very talented. You have a lot to offer, and don't ever shy away from asking for what you deserve.
And the thing that you're saying that I think is so key, and it goes back to what we've been talking about this sense of community and creating space, which is like these gatekeepers who help you navigate these unknown spaces are so key. And I think that if nothing else, like if you're not a protester, if you're not a digital content creator, but you are someone who owns space where you can help negotiate the growth of another person of color, another Black person, then you are absolutely doing something for the movement.
You're doing the work. Help to review resumes, give interview tips, teach people how to negotiate. There's so much that can be done. Even like, you know, knowledge sharing is so important. There is so much that so many things that Black people or people of color may not be aware of when entering these spaces. Mm-hmm. And it would be so helpful to kind of like have an inside ear or just eye, you know?
Yeah.
That is some powerful shit.
It really is. And it makes me think back as we're talking about this, my mind is going back to all of the people, you know, that have really helped create space for me. I remember I was saying this, I did a social media post, which was really just a love letter to all of the women who have created space for me. And in my career, I started way back when I first started my career, I started working at the Alvin Ailey Dance Theater, and I was working with their Ailey Camp. And my mentor at the time, who it was really like my second mom, she helped me navigate those spaces. And she really was able to both love me and challenge me at the same time. And so all along my career, I've had people who have said to me, Brietta, here's what you're good at. Here's where you need to grow. And I'm going to push you to the next level, right? Because it's just about pushing up, up, up. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hopeful, you know, that's why this podcast to me is so important, because if in any way I can create a space where people can feel both loved and challenged enough to aspire for more, then I feel like it's a good use of my energies and my talents.
Absolutely. And just I think about, you know, all of the Black women and women of color who you are bringing to the table, like someone can literally listen to this and be like, wow, I really resonate with what she's doing or what she's saying, and they can reach out. And that can just like result into like opportunities, new relationships being formed, you finding a mentor, a mentee. Like there's so much power in that. So thank you for, you know, doing this and creating this space.
Thank you so much, Mariama. Well, is there any projects or anything that you have coming up at Jalo Studio that you want to share with the audience right now?
Yes, I do. So we are in the works of building our digital home, jalostudios.com, which will be launching soon. And we have a lot of amazing initiatives and programs that we have lined up, including our creative directory, which we will be launching soon. So head over to Jalo Studios and follow us for all of the updates that we will be releasing soon.
That's amazing. And to everyone in the audience, we will make sure to have everything linked in the description for this episode so that you can easily follow Mariama and Jalo Studios. Thank you so, so much for being a part of this podcast. And I really believe this, that when people give of their time and their talents, it is not something that you should take lightly. So I really appreciate you coming into the space today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was so great. And I'm looking forward to listening to all of the other amazing women who you're going to have. So yeah, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you again. Well, to everyone out there listening, you know, I say this all the time. I am hopeful that through these conversations, you're hearing things that are making you think and feel more deeply and more richly. And if nothing else, I just hope that it's a positive moment in the middle of your day. Thank you all so much for listening. I can't wait to come back with another amazing, amazing guest. But in the meantime, have a wonderful day. Bye.